Good afternoon. Today is Monday, the 5th of May, 130th day of the new year. Have you had your taco yet?
Si,
okay.
Senor.
Joining us this afternoon. Didn't lose it on the chief, at least. Yeah. But, you know, it couldn't have been a big one.
Couldn't have been
a good one.
A taco?
There's nothing on the front.
Well, I'm from San Diego. We know how to eat tacos and burritos there.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
That would be standing outside, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and leaning forward.
So yeah. Yeah.
Your forearm.
Oh, fair enough. This afternoon, we got a bunch of different stuff to talk about.
Okay.
Not sure what it is, but we got a bunch of it, and we'll do it when we come back.
We'll figure it out.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills, Chief of Eureka PD. Still feel comfortable with that one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, let's see. comes from André Maurice. French guy.
Yeah.
Growing old is no more a bad habit than a busy person has not time to form. That doesn't sound funny, does it?
No, I'll have to think about that one for a while.
Okay, how about this? Mark Twain.
Much better.
Wrinkles should merely indicate where smiles have been.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Now we're off on solid footing.
There we go.
You had talked 2-3 months ago about needing to get a solid base of fact. Find out not only what kinds of crimes, where they are, when they are, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, so you can put together your matrix and your assignments and
right.
All that cop stuff that
right.
You know makes for good TV shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're on the inside, you're snoozing to the outside. It's like, hey, this stuff's cool. Do you have that stuff yet?
No.
How close are you?
We're still working on it. It's going to take a couple of things. One, it's going to take purchasing a records management system where we can get the data out of it. But we're getting...
Oh, to be just be able to manipulate it?
Manipulate the data, actually collect the data and then manipulate the data.
Okay.
In a thoughtful way. We're getting close. We've already had presentations by vendors. But now we're going to have to go through the RFP process or RFQ process to... Because it's government and, you know, it's a big ticket item. So
is
once,
it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somewhere between 300 and a million.
You know, I feel
lower
confident
side.
That you're going to be able to hit between $300 and $1 million.
No, 300,000.
Oh, okay.
300,000, yeah. I was trying to give a real big target there. But, you know, for what we're looking for, I'm real confident we can be in the $300,000 or $400,000 range. I don't need the Cadillac version. I'll take a Yugo at this point.
Would it be something that the other law enforcement agencies could also piggyback? So... Everybody's kind of coming from the same area and speaking the same language and referencing the same things instead of everybody having their unique programs that don't talk to one another?
Yeah, that would be nice. Here's the issues. Sheriff's Department has had one for, I think, maybe 10 or 15 years. We've had ours since the 80s, and that is problematic because Arcata Fortuna were on our backbone. And now that Arcata has just migrated to a new system, and that's a different system than what we currently have. But it might cost us, you know, twice what they did, what they purchased it for, because we're so much bigger. So I'm just trying to find the best deal, and I let poor Fortuna is going to, you know, swim on their own.
Bill's in the shallow end all by himself.
Yeah, going, hey, where did we go?
Yeah. Oh, is that a point of frustration for you, though, is that we aren't able to, and obviously the economics don't allow it at this time, to have everybody doing the same thing so that you can share and it's not somebody have any input? You arrest Bob from McKinleyville and June from Arcata and Sammy from Fortuna, and it all gets dumped in the same, and everybody can look at it, and you know what's going on around here?
Yeah, that's the best-case scenario, but there are some software packages that have come up as of late, CopLink, which is linking departments all over the state together. And we're currently pushing forward so that we don't have those problems, because the only people that see jurisdictions are the police. The crooks don't. I mean, they could care less. Residents don't. They go to wherever they need to shop or do whatever they'd like to do. So the police are the ones that, you know, really identify these jurisdictions, because we don't have one of two, somebody else's work for them. Which
is really that what the root of it is, you
no,
think?
No, it's just it's a legal issue.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. I was being a little cynical.
Yeah, but you know, somebody would hear it and take it out of context,
yeah,
and whip you up on it.
Yeah. Well, I get whipped up on occasionally, so.
Really?
Yeah, occasionally.
Okay. So you got this new, that's almost there, program.
Mm-hmm.
How long to implement it once it's here?
Once we're able to put out the RFQ, first of all, I got to get approval from council, then the RFQ, then selection process. We're probably a year out at least.
And that's before it's here, not before it's being used.
No, I think we can get it here before that, but it'll take time to get it designed, get the training done for all of our personnel. But once we do, it'll save us, my estimation is somewhere between 5 and 10 positions, police officer positions a year.
Say that slowly one more time.
It'll save us somewhere between 5 and 10 police officer positions a year.
How can it save 20% of
our workforce?
Well, of the sworn.
Yeah, 10 to 20% because of the efficiencies of how we take reports. Right now, we're completely inefficient. So if I go to your home to take a burglar report, I send an officer out there. He speaks with you, takes the information down, drives back to the station, types up the report, gets a call halfway through the report, goes out, handles that call, comes back, types again, gets another call, goes out. So all this travel time we're losing because of the inefficiencies.
Can't you just fill out a basic checkbox list, shoot it out to some office person who can kind of rough it in, and then that gets double-checked when the officer comes in, and as along with the other 15 or 20 that have been done during the day?
We're government. We don't operate that way. But this will make us much more efficient and effective.
Maybe we need to put a little tracking thing on each of the squad cars.
It's coming.
fair enough. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Andy, so you've got these programs that can do some of these cool things, fun things. I would presume they're fun. You kind of strike me as a baseball stats kind of guy. Yeah, twinkle, twinkle, yeah. Smile. Okay. Yeah. All right, so I'm with you on that one. So you're analyzing that. Now, that's the hard numbers.
Right.
But what about the soft numbers? Either the guy that was maybe not processed through the jail, or the warning, or things that haven't really resulted in formal, okay, guys, let's break it up. Let's, get it on. Okay, fine. Say, and they swear and point fingers and they move on. Aren't those as critical for developing this fact-based system? Who's, I would think a frequent flyer, whether he's arrested or somebody that has to be talked to 5 or 6 times a day, it's still 5 or 6 contacts.
Yeah, I mean, tell you a couple things. One is we recognized that we were trying to capture how many of our calls, what percentage of our calls for service are transient related. So we developed a new disposition code. So every time you go to a radio call, you clear the code, you clear it with a code saying, no report taken, or, give me a case number or whatever. So one of the things we are now doing is developed a code at the end of the call that says TRC, transient related call. And it looks like somewhere between 30 and 40%, I haven't had a chance to look at them recently, of our calls for service are transient related. And sometimes Drake Goodall, for instance, who's working in Old Town, contacted the same guy five times in one day. Just
so my off-the-cuff example was not out of realm of...
You're completely accurate. And there's mechanisms that are built into the software that will allow us to capture that. They're called field interviews, for instance.
Oh, so they can do a quick search on an individual's name?
That's exactly right. So, for instance, if I want to document under the STEP Act 186.22, a gang membership, I can fill out these field interview cards. And it says, okay, you know, Brian's a white male, 6'8", 195 pounds.
Oh, thanks for the 198, baby.
You know, wearing green and hanging out with other guys, throwing up gang signs and whatnot. Well, I can start to document that on these field interview cards. That all goes into the system so we can pull them back out. So in the future, if I want to prosecute you for a violent crime, we can pull all this in and be able to stack these up and then get an enhancement on that particular charge if it's a gang-related charge.
So if you get the new software program,
yes,
toy/fun,
yeah. Only because I'm a geek, though.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Yeah, we got to hang together, man. Yeah. Was it Payne who had that? You know, hang together or surely we'll hang separately. Yeah, and you are able to go after some of these high incident folks and knock them out of the program. Right. Do things get normal around here then?
I think they can slow down. Are we going to be the Beverly Hills of Humboldt County? No. Not without some jobs, but those are beyond my scope. But I think that there are things we can control. Like one of the things that we're doing is we looked at all of our calls for service and said, who are the top calls for service getters that are transient? And we're systematically going through that list. Working with them, trying to get them placed into places where they're not going to be out creating havoc. Like, for instance, the woman who sat at 4th and E on the bench. We get a lot of calls for service about her. She had a little tarp over the top of her. She'd sit there all day long, every day. You haven't seen her in a couple months because one of my officers, Pamela Millsap, worked with her, got her into transitional housing.
Actually, I like the guys now I've seen in front of two or three businesses staring at the sun with his mouth open, eyes closed. new guy in town, new player for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure, yeah, I'm not the only one apparently who's, I keep waiting for the seagulls. It doesn't happen.
If you and I were sitting there catching some rays, it would happen, absolutely.
It'd be a multiple attack.
Dive bombers.
They'd be thinking I had food or something that they wanted. So as you're looking at compiling this, how do you avoid the itchy? Come on! Let's get. Or do you have to wait until everything's in play to start utilizing some of this preliminary information?
No, we're doing we're collecting information in other ways. Yes, I am itchy. I want to get moving yesterday on this, and I'm not. You can ask my wife. I'm not the most patient person in the world, but this is teaching me patience. But we're collecting it in other ways. For instance, we just did that survey online. Where over 2,000 Eurekans responded to the survey to help us identify what the major problems are and locations and so forth with
don't spill the beans, man. Transients. We got another half of the
okay.
show.
And that was so there's other ways to collect information. We can get some information and data out of the system. It's just not as robust or as clean as I would like to see it.
So it's the retrievability of the information as well as having the information itself.
Right. It's interesting. We were talking to the vendor who has our current system, and he said, that system was never really meant to do analysis. It was just meant to collect the information. I looked at it and said, why are we collecting it if we can't analyze it? It was before we started analyzing stuff. I said, okay, well, Grant's great.
Scoring points with the old decision maker,
exactly.
How much information is there that you want to dump into this thing?
I we have reports going back to 1943, and while that may not be specifically germane to current problems, but the historical view can provide you a lot of data through intelligence-led policing.
intelligence policing together in the same phrase. We have to work on that
it's
one.
It's not as oxymoronic as it sounds.
Yeah, well, we'll figure it out. It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540227, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Andy, you were starting to discuss the survey that you had kind of gotten out into the community a little bit. Rather than worrying about the particulars, are there different perspectives that are there that you're seeing, or is this more confirmation of what your gut's been saying, what the guys have been saying, what everybody else has been telling you, and now it's just times whatever the factor is?
Both. And it was actually a really interesting exercise. We did SurveyMonkey and put it out on the web, and a lot of people filled it out. And some of the questions, almost over 1,000 people added comments. I mean, most people do surveys, you know, and there's no comments.
Click,
just
click,
check the
click,
box
yeah.
and be done. But over 1,000 people had comments that they wanted to make about it. And many, many, many were very thoughtful comments about, you know, trying to solve the problem with us. And
so it wasn't just blowing smoke.
No, and you get the typical, you know, bomb throwers here that, you know, I hate the police. Well, okay, thank you for your opinion. The comments were very specific and very thoughtful and very helpful. And so that was great. It confirmed a lot of what we thought, but it gave some structure to it. But we did three different surveys. We did a survey for the average citizen. We did a survey for the business community. And then we did a survey for the transients and the homeless themselves. And we had the people.
Consistency through those three?
We asked very different kinds of surveys.
Oh, so you yeah. might not be able to
yeah, you
make those connections.
You could not make those connections. The business owners and the community were pretty similar in that you could tell trends. The homeless was completely different perspective. We're trying to get, are they open to housing? Are they willing to go into housing? Or are they just going to live outside because they're outdoorsmen and so forth?
Fishermen and hunters, yeah, okay. Yeah. Were they able to, were a lot of the homeless folks able to? I mean, do they have the cell phones, or was this like accessing like Betty's place where there were some computers or the library, or? Did you guys go out there with laptops or?
Yeah, we didn't want police officers doing those surveys because we were afraid that we get a skewed result. These aren't scientific, but
sure.
We wanted to be as accurate as possible. I'm looking for a response, not to publish an article on this. So, we gave the surveys to St. Vincent de Paul, to Betty Chin, and to the Rescue Mission, asked them to distribute the surveys for us. And some of the homeless actually made some very thoughtful comments as well about, you know, what they would like to see and what could help them get out of their situation. And there are a lot of very strong themes that came out of those surveys that will help us.
I would think that you don't necessarily have to be a dummy to be homeless.
No.
And not all homeless are dummies.
No, absolutely not.
So it wouldn't surprise me that there weren't some viable opportunities. What was the biggest surprise that you found?
That a very high correlation, I can't remember the number, but a very high correlation of the homeless wanted to be housed.
Regardless of which of the categories they may fall under?
Right. They wanted housing of some kind.
Housing
may come with stipulations.
Yeah.
Like, I want my dog with me, or I want Taj Mahal. Or something of that
nature.
But
shelter was a pretty common.
Shelter was a pretty common thing where people were, you know, hey, if I want to get my life back together, and if you can help me do that.
That's got to be encouraging.
It was very encouraging. And then another certain percentage wanted just to go home. Well, we have a program for that. We have the TAP program that, you know, that Phil Crandall's been running, and we'll get them out of here. If they want to go home, we'll send them.
So it's just a matter of connecting with those folks?
It's all a matter of connecting, getting our resources in place to connect with those people to get them what they need.
Do they trust the cops?
Some.
Do those who want relocation trust the cops?
A few.
So what's the easiest way to get them?
Well, Phil and I are working on a project, and he's looking for funding. I'm looking for funding to be able to put two mental health workers out in the field with a police officer to go through each of the homeless and give it a good assessment. Do you want to go home? We'll do it right now. Do you want to, you need housing? Here's the housing opportunity. Do you need mental health? Because so many of the people are dual diagnosed and seriously mentally ill, that it takes a little bit more than a police officer just to do that.
So quick remedies with some?
A few.
So the situations, yeah.
Yeah. And those that we can do the quick remedies with, I think we need to do that. There's also a high correlation of, I was watching the veterans on the news the other day, talking about they have a lot of capacity and bed space available. Well, it just cues it up for us that we need to take that segment of that population and get them in that housing quickly.
Are vets a large segment? I mean, you hear about it, but it's never really dialed into specificity, and I always tend to have a little jaundiced eye about, you know, talking along those lines that, oh, so many vets, well, okay, so how many, how do you find it? You know, I need that next level, because it gets thrown out, and it's almost as a way to tap into pitter patter if you're patriotic or, you know, support the military. And I, again, tend to have a little healthy respect and hesitation on some of that stuff.
I think that there is a serious percentage that are veterans. Now, what does that mean?
If it's sizable enough, I mean, it's more than 10%.
Yeah, my guess is it's a little bit more than 10%, yeah. Maybe up to 20%.
Really?
Yeah. Of people that served in the military at one point, whether they're discharged or honorably or dishonorably, I really don't care, as long as we can get them into housing.
But of the local crew?
Of the local crew. And that is one of the key factors, is that if you're from Humboldt County, you get top priority. If you're from Eureka, you get top billing. If you're from somewhere else, go back there and get your help.
We'll help you go.
And we'll help you go there.
KINS News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 346. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. This afternoon, we're spending a little bit of time talking about the data or the survey that has gone out. So you're starting to get some of this, and I would say probably at best anecdotal information, mm-hmm. with some suggestions. I would think that the temptation is to jump into a whole bunch of it, which is cool.
Right.
But you also need to have that financial ability to really take care of some of these things. And then there's the stuff that doesn't cost any money. Are you able to start implementing the freebies, so to speak?
Well, we're already doing a lot out there. I mean, I already have a police officer and a psychiatric nurse, for lack of better terminology, out there contacting people. I mean, very often our officers are as well doing a lot. But to have a structured, organized, coordinated response based on the data, I'm asking people to hold off. We're continuing to do what we have been doing, but for the innovative stuff, I'm asking people to hold off until we can put a proposal together for the County Board of Supes and the City Council to say, yes, this is what we want to cradle it all together, to be able to make sure it's coordinated between the city and the county, to move forward all in lockstep together, shoulder to shoulder, working with the community, and in order to make sure that we're doing this correctly.
So as you look at the implementation phase of this, are you concerned it's just going to push people out of Eureka but into the surrounding environments?
Well,
or will it? Yeah, I know that, you know, yeah, if we're saying, okay, Andy, City of Eureka.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You really don't care. I get it. But Andy, community member.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
No, we're not going to do that. That's why we're trying to coordinate it with the county. And I'm working very closely with the sheriff, with Tom Chapman over in Arcata. So I guess the only one left is Fortuna. So Bill, enjoy that. No, I'm just kidding. For those folks in Fortuna. We're working together with all the local agencies and with the local chiefs association to make sure that this is a well thought out coordinated effort.
Boy, you wrapped that one up tight, didn't
you?
So what do you, 6 months? When do you think we're going to start, we general community, is going to start to see less cardboard on the corners in Eureka, less people wandering from sidewalk to sidewalk across the highway in Eureka, that we might not see the new fashion trends and hairstyles in Eureka and start to maybe see a lessening of what's going on?
Well, first of all, I think we need to adjust our expectations. And my hope is that we can have an impact on the problem this year. If we can have a 10% impact, see things go down 10%, I think that's a step in the right direction to keep moving with that progression every quarter until it's a manageable at a manageable level. But this is deeper than just the homelessness. I want to make that clearly understood. A lot of the people that you see that look homeless are truly not homeless. They're just a bunch of meth addicts that just wander around. They couch surf. They have their own little flop house where they live and stuff. And you look at that person and say, well, that person scares the heck out of me. And they don't look like a normal, you know, a person.
Where they don't behave.
They don't behave normally. Yeah. When you're, you know, walking around talking with yourself and yelling at the door. That's a different issue that we're going to have to try to deal with, but we're trying to get a handle on this first. So I do believe that we can have an impact and start to see some progress by the end of the summer.
You mentioned end of the summer. That's exactly where I was going. Is part of this going to be trying to keep the trimmers that come in for a seasonal, keep them out?
I think it's to help them manage our expectations of what we expect of that community. You're going to be here. You're going to behave the way we want you to behave.
It'll be interesting.
Allegedly.
Thanks for coming by, man. We've been talking shop with Andy Mills. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.